Well, this is the last day, the great day of the feast, and it's also our last day together tonight, and tomorrow we'll be all going our separate ways. And I think there's some very important things that we need to take with us as we leave and go home, and that's what I would like to speak about today. Randy Crouch died last year of pancreatic cancer. Some of you may have heard that name. Possibly. It was in the news, but it was not widely covered. Randy was a computer science professor at Carnegie Mellon University and acclaimed as a very excellent teacher. After being told that he had only a few weeks to live, he gave a talk to a very large audience there at the university, which came to be known as Randy Crouch's last lecture, and it was very widely acclaimed and has been distributed pretty widely. Perhaps some of you may have seen the video or the transcript of it. In his message, he talked about all of his childhood dreams and how he accomplished nearly every one of them. And he had, have you ever run into a brick wall? That's the title of my sermon. Yeah. It's the saying that we have. If there's something we want to accomplish and it seems impossible, if there's just some resistance that we just can't seem to overcome, we say we run into a brick wall. Well, Randy had something I think is very important for all of us to hear, especially those of us in God's church, something about brick walls. What he had to say was the following. Remember, brick walls are there for a reason. The brick walls are not there to keep us out. Brick walls are there to give us a chance to show how badly we really want something. Brick walls are there to stop the people that don't want it badly enough. The brick walls are there to stop the other people. I think that's worth repeating. Remember, brick walls are there for a reason. They're not there to keep us out. The brick walls are there to give us a chance to show how badly we really want something. Brick walls are there to stop the people who don't want it badly enough. And there to stop the other people. Well, I said it's especially important, I believe, for those of us in God's church. Why is that? Well, because God has a brick wall. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7:14, narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to eternal life, and very few there be that find it. And he also said in Matthew 19:24, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So God holds out eternal life. The most precious thing that we could even think about is in all this universe, having eternal life in God's kingdom, the chance to lead and to serve and be these kind of servants we talked about here at the feast, in his wonderful coming kingdom, teaching the wonderful way of life that Jesus Christ taught. But he wants to know how badly we want it. He's not going to give it to anyone that doesn't want it, or those that don't care. I think there are two very important things to think about when we think about God's kingdom. One, we have to want it badly enough. And number two, if we want it badly enough, it's there, and God will give it to us and grant it. That's basically the story of the brick wall. So, what's the nature of the brick wall? Christ described it quite well in the parable of the sower. I'd like to read that, starting in Matthew 13, if you turn with me there. Matthew 13 is starting in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for only a little while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and 30. So what does the brick wall consist of? Well, it consists of the world around us that we're embedded in, financial problems, politics, anything that can blur our vision of God's kingdom. My physical body is wearing out. I actually had my 70th birthday on the way to the feast. I've been chopping wood for our winter fire, and the wood is getting heavier than it was a few years ago. So, you know, I'm winding down. And I saw an article on the internet from Der Spiegel some time back, and the headline was, "The world as we know it is going down." And I think we can see that everywhere, that things are on the way down. So there isn't that much to look forward to except for God's kingdom. But what an awesome thing God holds out for us. I think a lot of us saw the video last night about the awesome universe and what God has designed. And we need to have a clear picture in our minds of just what an awesome thing God holds out to us. And we need to strive for that. We see our human life, our physical bodies, this awesome environment that God made for us. What kind of a man, what kind of a mind could do that? Put all that together. And to think this is just a training ground, that the real life is yet ahead. So it's hard in this world, as we go back to the world, to really keep this vision in our minds, but we really have to. We hear in politics a lot of things, a lot of empty talk about men wanting to do all things for all people, but it's not possible. It just can't happen. World leaders don't have that power. Things aren't in their control. But God is in control. In Isaiah, I'd like to turn to Isaiah 25, and this is what really is ahead. Isaiah 25, I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. And we've read this, I think, many, many times probably. "And in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away every tear from all faces. The rebuke of his people will he take away from the earth." The Lord has spoken this. So we need to have this vision, and we need to know that we can get there, that God is in control, and he holds that out to us. I'd like to read another scripture in Romans 8, and starting in verse 29, and this is also a very common scripture. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For he did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for all of us. How shall he not also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted worthy as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So this is what God has in store, and He's able to do that for us, to bring us into His kingdom. We've been observing the feast here, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a time to picture Christ's return and the establishment of God's wonderful kingdom. It's time to picture and think about the battle we want that. We just want to be a part of that. To be those Christ-centered servant leaders that we've talked about in sermons and sermonettes. Teaching this weary world that's going to be so war-torn after Christ returns to know real love and real joy and to help wipe away some of those tears. I have one last scripture I'd like to read in John 14. It's a scripture of encouragement here for these times ahead. John 14, starting at the beginning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So God has a place prepared for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Christ was there to be a guide as we look forward to His wonderful kingdom. So we need to want to have God's kingdom just in our hearts, embedded in our hearts, because there is a brick wall between here and God's kingdom. It is there for a reason. It's not there to keep us out. It's there to measure how badly we really want to be a part of God's kingdom. Is there to keep out the other people. So as we head home, let's just take with us a vivid picture in our minds of that kingdom and in our hearts a burning desire to be there.